Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this special primetime edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on Monday, on this Monday, January 30th, 2012. As always, you can call in at 347-215-6180. Cyril Quinn taking you for the next half hour as we look back at simply one of the great tennis matches of all time. Not number one in my book, but I'll let you know why I had it in my top five tennis matches of all time. Like I said, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me at twitter.com/WilliamJuro or hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. Also, catch the opening on this show tomorrow at CyrilJuroQuinn.com. Blog Talk Radio, I'm on the chat line, so if you have any questions or comments, feel free to chime in and talk to me. You know, I want to know what are your thoughts on this just simply epic tennis match that was Novak Djokovic taking out Rafael Nadal. Poll question of the night is, will Novak Djokovic win all four Grand Slams this year? It's obviously, you know, you're talking about grass, clay, hard courts, obviously one of the most difficult feats in all the sports. But I definitely think he has an opportunity to do so. You know, that match was, again, one of the great tennis matches of all time, without question. And you look back at this, you look back at the match, and it basically, like I said, that match was like an NFL season. I mean, it had more twists and turns than an NFL season, to be honest with you. You have Nadal jumping out on Djokovic, breaking serve early in the first set, takes the first set 7-5, and you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, it just might be Nadal's night, or Nadal's morning, or whatever. You know, considering that Djokovic had just played a almost near 5-hour marathon with against Andy Murray, only had a day's rest, while you know, Nadal had 2 4-day of recovery, which I have a major issue with. And I had to express that a couple of days ago on this Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. And you just thought that, you know, there was no, like, if Djokovic was going to win this match, then he would have to do so in 5 sets. And I just didn't think that, you know, he would have enough, you know, gas in the tank to beat Nadal in 5 sets. So then Djokovic finally gets into the match and, you know, has his way with Nadal in sets 2 and 3. He breaks Nadal early on in the fourth set. It's up, you know, 3-4. It's up 3-4 with a break on serve and love 40. At that point, 3-4, Nadal serving, up 3-4, love 40. At that point, you're thinking to yourself, there's no way that Nadal can win this match. Down 4-3 and love 40. After that point, when he holds serve and he wins a tiebreaker in that fourth set, you know, at that point he's like, you know, this is an all time classic. Because at that point it wasn't so much about skill, it was about the absolute will of Rafael Nadal. Then you get to the fifth set, And when they all won the four set tiebreaker, I'm saying, you know what, this match is, you know, I shouldn't have thought this. This match is over. Fifth set, Nadal has all the momentum, crowds behind him. Djokovic looks, you know, dead as a doorknob. He can't move. He, you know, he goes through the whole fifth set basically playing possum. Djokovic was, I mean, he must have been a big Muhammad Ali fan because he was absolutely doing his, you know, his impression of the rope-a-dope. You know, he would, you know, he would, you know, they would go through a point. He'd be moving around side to side, what have you. As soon as the point was over, he can't, he could barely, you know, he can't walk. So he, so I'm not sure what effect that had on Nadal's psyche, but he absolutely, Djokovic absolutely played the rope-a-dope to a T. I mean, you can't play it any better than other than Muhammad Ali playing it back, you know, back when he was fighting. So again, Djokovic finally, you know, busts loose, breaks Nadal, and then goes on to finish the match at 7-5 in the fifth set. Again, not the greatest tennis match of all time, but to me, the most physically grueling match I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it was a battle of, you know, it was a battle of wills out there. And truthfully, I don't think either one of them cracked. I think they had moments where they were, you know, they both were physically hurting. Nadal at the end seemed like he was not in the greatest shape. But I can't say that either one of them wore down, despite playing for almost 6 hours. For Nadal, you know, for Djokovic, obviously this match takes him to a whole nother level. I mean, now he's got that epic match under his belt. A lot of people thought the Federer, he had played three classics against Federer, two in the U.S. Open that he two, you know, two in back-to-back U.S. Opens that he won semifinals, one in a French Open semifinal that a lot of people regard as a classic, even though Federer won in four sets. I don't think it was a classic, but it was a great match. But this is the one that, you know, takes him, you know, similar to when Nadal beat Federer in 2008. That took Nadal to a whole, you know, winning his first Wimbledon obviously was huge, but that winning a match in that, you know, in that manner over the then best player in the world, over then, you know, Roger Federer in his prime, that took him to a whole nother level. And this, you know, this to me is almost equally as impressive, considering that the fact that you beat a guy, and again, he keeps beating Nadal at his own game. And I think the bottom, you know, and the thing I take out of this match, and the bottom line for me is, Nadal, Djokovic is a better version of Rafael Nadal. You know, they both can grind out points. They both can hit a million ground strokes on the baseline. The difference is, Djokovic is able to win points quicker than Nadal. He's able to shorten points. That leaves him, and that, you know, by doing that, that leaves him a little bit more in the tank if he has to play a match, you know, five sets or four grueling sets or five sets, 3 or 4 hours. Leaves him a little bit extra, which will serve him right in the future. Nadal has, you know, has left as far as playing at this level, considering just the style that he plays. It's such a physical. Because we had a little technical difficulty there. We're back on, you know, back on the Saturday morning wake-up call, primetime special, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, a match for the ages. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, the style that Nadal plays is such a physical, grinded-out style. You don't know how many years he has left to play at this level. I could see Djokovic, you know, changing his game to a point to where he is able to play, you know, two or three years, you know, maybe he can go into his 30s. I mean, he can still serve better. There's still some things he can go to net more. There's still some things that Djokovic can do, which makes what Djokovic is doing right now as far as having five Grand Slams at the age of 24 very scary. I mean, Djokovic has a legitimate chance at being an all-time great. That's all there is to it. He has that kind of ability. He has that kind of ability. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this year turns out for him in terms of him possibly having a chance to win all four Grand Slams. For Rafael Nadal, this is a bad loss. There's no two ways about it, because if, you know, if there was going to be any time that he could beat Djokovic, that Djokovic was right for the picking, this was the time. I mean, Nadal had 2 full days off. He wins the first set. Djokovic, again, coming off a match against Andy Murray where he almost lost 5 hours, only one day's rest. You know, there were some people saying that he was closer to Djokovic than past matches. I totally disagree. I don't think he comes out of this match feeling that he's closer to Djokovic than he was before the start of the match. So this is a brutal, heartbreaking loss for Nadal. Now he knows how Roger Federer feels with losing a match of this magnitude. And, you know, you think about it with Nadal, you know, he goes out there, he's number two for a record amount of weeks behind Roger Federer. He finally overtakes Federer in 2008. Okay, beats him at Wimbledon, takes his number one ranking. And, you know, he thinks that he's home free. Now here comes this guy, and Novak Djokovic, who he used to own early on in his career, who now has completely taken control of the sport. And this is actually worse from the standpoint that, you know, eventually Federer was going to get older, and Federer was going to get older, and Nadal was going to overtake him. Djokovic is younger than Nadal, so Djokovic is not going anywhere. He's 24 years old. So right now, if you're Rafael Nadal, you have to be in the lab with Uncle Tony and company figuring out, what do I have to do to beat this guy? And right now, I don't have the answers for that. I don't think he's just equipped. I don't think he has a skill set to beat him, to be honest with you. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, I will tell you the differences between the rivalries of Nadal Federer versus Nadal Djokovic. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this Saturday morning wake-up call primetime special. We'll be right back. Hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, this primetime special, looking back at the classic match between Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic. Of course, Djokovic winning in five brutal, physically grinding sets, again, almost six hours, and just getting one of the most physical tennis matches that I've ever witnessed, with these two guys just grinding it out from the baseline. You know, these long 25, 30-stroke rallies. He had sets he had hour and 20-minute sets. So it was just again, the longest men's Grand Slam final ever, one of the longest tennis matches ever in the history of the ATP Tour. So tremendous match, great match. Again, Djokovic, you know, has now beaten Nadal 7 straight times, 3 straight Grand Slam. In 3 straight Grand Slam finals, that has never happened before, where a guy has beaten another tennis player in 3 straight Grand Slam finals consecutively. So a little bit of history from that standpoint. You know, when you look at the Nadal Djokovic rivalry has clearly ascended to the number one rivalry in all tennis, if not one of the top rivalries in all the sports, overtaking Federer and Nadal, which is still a great rivalry. But when you talk about, these guys, Nadal and Djokovic and Nadal are the two best players in the world. But when you look at the differences between the two rivalries, you know, with Nadal and Federer, it was like, I'd rather be with Nadal and Federer. It was like you had like a contrast in style with the two. You have a contrast in style, and you have the classic Federer who can hit from the baseline, who also can serve in volley, versus Rafael Nadal, who is this guy who just wants to pound you and grind you to death from the baseline, that rivalry with Federer and Nadal, at least there were moments in that rivalry where Federer, had his day against Nadal. I mean, he beat him in Wimbledon twice. He's beaten him a couple of times in a couple other tournaments. At least there was a sense that, Federer was competitive against Nadal. And it was just like, the thing that cost Federer against Nadal was his own stubbornness when he was in his prime. Because in terms of the skill set, in Roger Federer's prime, when he's at his best, I'd rather have Roger Federer's skill set than Rafael Nadal's skill set. With Nadal Djokovic, it's like with their rivalry, I brought it up earlier, it's like they're the same player, but Djokovic, again, is a better version. And again, I don't see how Nadal will ever can overcome this, can beat Djokovic. I don't. Because Djokovic is only going to get better, I feel. I think we might have seen the best out of Rafael Nadal, to be honest with you. But I think Djokovic still has, these are his prime. These are both their prime years. But I just think Djokovic's ceiling is we haven't seen it yet, which is scary when you think about it. The fact that he has five majors by at the age of 24. And the crazy thing about this whole chivalry between the three of them is, even at his advanced tennis age, Federer being over 30, he is actually closer to Djokovic than Nadal is. Whether it's because of the matchup, his matchup style of play, you would give Federer a much better chance of beating Nadal, of beating Djokovic than Nadal right now. Clearly. I mean, just look at it. I mean, Federer should have beaten Djokovic in back-to-back U.S. Opens 2010-2011. He beat him at the French Open last year in the semifinal, which was Djokovic's only loss in a Grand Slam, and snapped his 43 match winning streak. And, lifetime, he has a winning record against Djokovic. Nadal does, but most of that came early on in their respective careers. So again, those would be the two differences. Those would be the differences between the rivalries with Djokovic, Federer, Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer. And please, can people please stop putting Andy Murray in this mix? Andy Murray is not on the level of those other three players. He's not. Yeah, bottom line, those three players. Federer has 16 majors, Nadal has 10, Djokovic has 5, Murray has 0. Zip. Hasn't won a major. Don't put him in that. Please don't put him in that. They say the big four. There's no big four. You have the big three, and then there's a not, and then there's a drop off, and then you have Andy Murray. Again, it's a chivalry between those three. Triumvirate between those three players. It's not the four horsemen. Okay, enough of that. I heard so much of that this weekend. It's ridiculous. Andy Murray again played well. Played great against Djokovic, could have beat him, but he didn't. They came up short. At some point, Andy Murray needs to win a Grand Slam. I mean, that's all there is to it. When we return, we'll look ahead at the year. We'll look ahead towards the next three Grand Slam majors. We'll answer the poll question of, will Novak Djokovic win all four Grand Slams this year? That is coming up on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call Primetime Show. We will be right back. Hour on this latest special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call Prime Time. As we look back at the Rafael Nadal Novak Djokovic match, again, one of the great tennis matches of all time. And if I had to rank my five greatest matches personally, number one would be the Federer Nadal match in 2008 at Wimbledon. That match had both guys in the prime of their careers. It was a higher level of tennis, in my opinion. And when you look at winners versus unforced errors, both guys were nearly flawless. Look at it this way: 6-4, 6-4. Okay, one break of serve. Then you had Federer winning his two sets in tiebreakers. Battling off a couple of match points, and then you had a 9-7 fifth set. So it did not get. It can't get any much better than that, as far as I'm concerned. I know you had the rain delay. Had the rain delay, which, kind of not took away from it, but kind of like stemmed them, chilled some momentum. But still, that to me, and again, I don't go back to McEnroe and Borg in 1980. I was 2 years old. But that is the greatest tennis match I've ever seen personally, I've ever seen, in my life. Second, I would put Lendl and Max Wilander back in 88 at the U.S. Open final. Number one and two in the world. Remember, Lendl was on a streak of where he would make 9 straight U.S. Open finals. He was one of the great hardcore players of all time, without question. 9 straight U.S. Open finals. That was his 8th straight. Wilander again was Lendl's nemesis. They had a great rivalry. Again, at that time, that was one of that. At the time, that probably was the most physical match up to this one. This past, Djokovic Nadal, that probably was the most physical tennis match I've ever seen. Both those guys pounded you with the baseline, long, grueling rallies. That was a tremendous match with Max Wilander coming out on top back in 1988 in the U.S. Open. Three, I would have this one. At number three, again, the most physical tennis match that I've ever seen in my life. Two guys, one versus two in their primes, of their respective careers. This is three. This would be third. Four, I would put Ivanišević and Rafter at the 2001 Wimbledon. Now, neither one of those guys are, Rafter won a couple of U.S. Opens, but neither one of those guys are all-time great players, but you knew that it was the last chance that either one of them would have to win Wimbledon. And Goran Ivanišević finally got that Grand Slam monkey off his back. He won his only Wimbledon, a title that had eluded him, for so many years, losing, to Pete Sampras, and, of course, that just heartbreaking match to Andre Agassi back in 91. That was a great match. Now, again, there was so many – Ivanišević probably shouldn't have even been there. So many things had to go right them to get there, the rain delays with Tim Henman, it was rain delays with that. It was played on a Monday, so it was a quirky final, but still an all-time classic. And number five, I would have to say Egbert and Becker, 1990 Wimbledon. Egbert's up 2 sets of love. Becker comes back. Becker's up 3-1 in the fifth set, but Egbert comes back and wins that match. Great match against two of the best grass court serving volley players of all time. They both, their games were tailor-made for that surface. They both played with an artistry, you know, in terms of, I mean, Stephon Edwards, I think outside John McEnroe, was probably the best serving body player of all time. And he was that good with the serving, you know, serving and volley. Again, one of the most graceful players that you'll ever see. So both great players, both Hall of Famers and all-time greats. So those are the five, my five top matches of all time. This one, again, we live in a society where, you know, in a now society, so everybody just saw this match. The, you know, the Federer-Nadal match was 4 years ago. But still, even that being said, even though it was 4 years ago, that match was the greatest tennis match of all time that I've seen. So the question now is, can Novak Djokovic win all four? Will he win all four majors this particular year? Remember, he is, you know, a French Open win away from holding all four majors at the same time. French Open win away from doing that. Last year, again, he probably would have won the French Open. Remember, he beat Nadal on clay a couple times last year, which is Nadal's best surface. So he goes into the French Open as the favorite, regardless of how much success Nadal has had, you know, with the five French Open wins. Djokovic is the favorite. That's all there is to it. And to me, the thing that keeps him from winning a Grand Slam is obviously injury and health. It's physically grinding. Tennis, for some reason, has no such thing as an off season, which is just ridiculous, but that's what they do. And Roger Federer, you know, let's say he runs into Federer at the French Open again in the semifinals. Because that's the thing, mate. You know, that's the thing. He has, you know, he won't have to run to Federer again until the finals. That's the thing that Djokovic has going for him, as in comparison to last year. He's ranked number one now, so, you know, he can let Nadal and Federer just battle each other out, and, you know, kill each other basically in a semifinal match. He has that advantage. So even if he does play Federer in the final of the French Open, Federer, you know, presumably if he gets past Nadal, will be worn down from that grueling match, but Federer still, to me, remains his biggest obstacle as far as winning a Grand Slam match. Federer, you know, on clay, or especially Federer on grass at Wimbledon. My gut feeling says that Djokovic is going to make history and win all four Grand Slams, to be honest with you. I just feel like he's on that kind of roll. I feel like I know it's hard, but again, he owns Rafael Nadal, and Rafael Nadal owns Roger Federer. So if you're going by that logic, Federer never beats Nadal, and Djokovic always beats Nadal. So again, unless, you know, and Andy Murray can't beat any of them, in my opinion. So again, unless Djokovic gets injured, or unless Federer can come back and break through and beat Nadal, and keep in mind, Roger Federer has not beaten Rafael Nadal in a Grand Slam since 2007. Think about that. He hasn't beaten him in a Grand Slam match in 5 years. Only beaten him twice ever in a Grand Slam. Nadal's 8-2 versus Federer in Grand Slams. He beat him in the 2006 Wimbledon final and the 2007 Wimbledon final. But he has not beaten Nadal in a Grand Slam in 5 years. So, you know, as time goes by, it becomes less and less likely that Federer will beat Nadal in a Grand Slam match. That's going to wrap it up for this special edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call Prime Time. You can always catch the show on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook.com/TheRealQuinn or at Twitter.com/William. Have a great evening, and I will see you next time on the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call.